October 25th. Our reading today from the Old Testament will be from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 48, at verse 1. We'll go through chapter 49, verse 22. We'll see that Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations as well as to Judah, and his book closes with prophecies concerning the nations, beginning with Egypt. Now, the Egyptians had defeated Philistia, but the Babylonians would destroy both Philistia and Moab. The Babylonian army would be like a rising river and a sword in the hands of the Lord. Now, Moab was known for its pride. So the Lord brought those people low. They relied on a false god and trusted material wealth. So their god was captured and their wealth was plundered. They lost all their defenses. Milcom, or Molech, was the god of the Ammonites, worshipped in terrible orgies that involved the sacrificing of children, unimaginable evil. His name means the reigning one, but he would reign no more. He would go into captivity and not be able to rescue himself, which is what happens, by the way, to all false gods. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. October 25th, Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 1, through chapter 49, verse 22. This message was given concerning Moab. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Destruction is certain for the city of Nebo. It will soon lie in ruins. The city of Kiriathaim will be humiliated and captured. The fortress will be humiliated and broken down. No one will ever brag about Moab again, for there is a plot against her life. In Heshbon, plans have been completed to destroy her. Come, they say, we will cut her off from being a nation. The city of madmen, too, will be silenced. The sword will follow you there. And then the roar of battle will surge against Horonaim, for all Moab is being destroyed. Her little ones will cry out. Her refugees will climb the hills of Luhith, weeping bitterly, while cries of terror rise from Horonaim below. Flee for your lives, hide in the wilderness. Because you have trusted in your wealth and skill, you will be taken captive. Your god Chemosh, with his priests and princes, will be exiled to distant lands. All the towns will be destroyed, both on the plateaus and in the valleys, for the Lord has spoken. Oh, that Moab had wings so she could fly away, and her cities will be left empty, with no one living in them. Cursed be those who refuse to do the work the Lord has given them, who hold back their swords from shedding blood. From her earliest history, Moab has lived in peace. She is like wine that has been allowed to settle. She has not been poured from flask to flask, and she is now fragrant and smooth. But the time is coming soon, says the Lord, when I will send troublemakers to pour her from her jar. They will pour her out, then shatter the jar. At last, Moab will be ashamed of her idol Chemosh, as Israel was ashamed of her gold calf at Bethel. You used to boast, "We are heroes, mighty men of war." But now Moab and her towns will be destroyed. Her most promising youth are doomed to slaughter, says the king, whose name is the Lord Almighty. Calamity is coming fast to Moab. It threatens ominously. You friends of Moab, weep for her and cry. See how the strong scepter is broken, how the beautiful staff is shattered. Come down from your glory and sit in the dust, you people of Dibon, for those who destroy Moab will shatter Dibon too. They will tear down all your towers. The people of Aroer stand anxiously beside the road to watch. They shout to those who flee from Moab, "What has happened there?" And the reply comes back. Moab lies in ruins. Weep and wail. Tell it by the banks of the Arnon River. Moab has been destroyed. All the cities of the plateau lie in ruins too. Judgment has been poured out on them all, on Holon, and Jahaz, and Mephahath, and on Dibon, and Nebo, and Beth Diblathaim, and on Kiriathaim, and Beth Gamul, and Beth Meon, and on Kerioth, and Basra, all the cities of Moab far and near. The strength of Moab has ended. Her horns have been cut off, and her arms have been broken, says the Lord.
Let her stagger and fall like a drunkard, for she has rebelled against the Lord. Moab will wallow in her own vomit, ridiculed by all. Did you not make Israel the object of your ridicule? Was she caught in the company of thieves, that you should despise her as you do? You people of Moab, flee from your cities and towns. Live in the caves, like doves that nest in the clefts of the rocks. We have heard of the pride of Moab, for it is very great. We know of her loftiness, her arrogance, and her haughty heart. I know about her insolence, says the Lord, but her boasts are false. They accomplish nothing. Yes, I wail for Moab. My heart is broken for the men of Kir Hareseth. You people of Sibmah, rich in vineyards, I will weep for you even more than I did for Jazer. Your spreading vines once reached as far as the Dead Sea, but the destroyer has stripped you bare. He has harvested your grapes and summer fruits. Joy and gladness are gone from fruitful Moab. The presses yield no wine. No one treads the grapes with shouts of joy. There is shouting, yes, but not of joy. Instead, their awful cries of terror can be heard from Heshbon clear across to Elealeh and Jahaz, from Zoar all the way to Horonium and Eglath-Shalashiah. Even the waters of Nimrim are dried up now. I will put an end to Moab, says the Lord. For they offer sacrifices at the pagan shrines and burn incense to their false gods. My heart moans like a flute for Moab and Kir Hareseth, for all their wealth has disappeared. They shave their heads and beards in mourning. They slash their hands and put on clothes made of sackcloth. Crying and sorrow will be in every Moabite home and on every street. For I have smashed Moab like an old, unwanted bottle. How it is broken! Hear the wailing! See the shame of Moab! She has become an object of ridicule, an example of ruin to all her neighbors. An eagle swoops down on the land of Moab, says the Lord. Her cities will fall, her strongholds will be seized. Even the mightiest warriors will be as frightened as a woman about to give birth. Moab will no longer be a nation, for she has boasted against the Lord. Terror and traps and snares will be your lot, O Moab, says the Lord. Those who flee in terror will fall into a trap, and those who escape the trap will step into a snare. I will see to it that you do not get away, for the time of your judgment has come, says the Lord. The people flee as far as Heshbon, but are unable to go on, for a fire comes from Heshbon, King Sihon's ancestral home, to devour the entire land with all its rebellious people. O Moab, your destruction is sure. The people of the god Chemosh are destroyed. Your sons and daughters have been taken away as captives. But in the latter days, I will restore the fortunes of Moab, says the Lord. This is the end of Jeremiah's prophecy concerning Moab. This message was given concerning the Ammonites. This is what the Lord says. What are you doing? Are there no descendants of Israel to inherit the land of Gad? Why are you who worship Molech living in its towns? I will punish you for this, says the Lord, by destroying your city of Rabbah. It will become a desolate heap, and the neighboring towns will be burned. Then Israel will come and take back the land you took from her, says the Lord. Cry out, O Heshbon, for the town of Ai is destroyed. Weep, O people of Rabbah, put on your clothes of mourning. Weep and wail, hiding in the hedges, for your god Molech will be exiled, along with his princes and priests. You are proud of your fertile valleys, but they will soon be ruined. You rebellious daughter, you trusted in your wealth and thought no one could ever harm you. But look, I will bring terror upon you, says the Lord Almighty. Your neighbors will chase you from your land, and no one will help your exiles as they flee. But afterward, I will restore the fortunes of the Ammonites, says the Lord. This message was given concerning Edom. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Where are all the wise men of Teman? Is there no one left to give wise counsel? Turn and flee. Hide in deep caves, you people of Dedan. For when I bring disaster on Edom, I will punish you too. Those who harvest grapes always leave a few for the poor. If thieves came at night, even they would not take everything. But I will strip bare the land of Edom, and there will be no place left to hide. Its children, its brothers, and its neighbors all will be destroyed, and Edom itself will be no more. But I will preserve the orphans who remain among you. Your widows, too, will be able to depend on me for help. And this is what the Lord says: If the innocent must suffer, how much more must you? You will not go unpunished. You must drink this cup of judgment. For I have sworn by my own name, says the Lord, that Bozra will become an object of horror and a heap of rubble. It will be mocked and cursed. All its towns and villages will be desolate forever. I have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nations to say, Form a coalition against Edom and prepare for battle. This is what the Lord says: I will cut you down to size among the nations, Edom. You will be despised by all. You are proud that you inspire fear in others, and you are proud because you live in a rock fortress and hide high in the mountains. But don't fool yourselves. Though you live among the peaks with the eagles, I will bring you crashing down, says the Lord. Edom will be an object of horror. All who pass by will be appalled and will gasp at the destruction they see there. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, says the Lord. No one will live there anymore. I will come like a lion from the thickets of the Jordan, leaping on the sheep in the pasture. I will chase Edom from its land, and I will appoint the leader of my choice. For who is like me, and who can challenge me? What ruler can oppose my will? Listen to the Lord's plans for Edom and the people of Teman. Even the little children will be dragged off, and their homes will be empty. The earth will shake with the noise of Edom's fall, and its cry of despair will be heard all the way to the Red Sea. The enemy will come as swiftly as an eagle, and he will spread his wings against Bozra. Even the mightiest warriors will be as frightened as a woman about to give birth. October 25th. And now, as we turn our attention to the New Testament, our reading today will be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. Christ is coming. In view of this, we must know our task and be faithful to do it. Apostasy is also coming. Indeed, it's here now. Many professed Christians have no ear for the Word of God. They prefer religious entertainment and sermons that will tickle their ears instead of cut their hearts. Departure is also coming. Paul the Apostle saw his approaching death as the offering of a sacrifice to God, the ending of a difficult race, and the gaining of a glorious crown. This is the victor's crown given to winners at the Greek Olympic Games. And help is coming. The Apostle Paul was greatly disappointed when the people he had ministered to turned away from him and were ashamed of his bonds. He asked Timothy to come as soon as possible and to bring Mark with him. But best of all, the Lord came to Paul and encouraged him. No matter what his people may do, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. And now let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. October 25th, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. And so I, Paul, solemnly urge you, Timothy, before God and before Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be persistent. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to right teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. They will reject the truth and follow strange myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at bringing others to Christ. Complete the ministry God has given you. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that great day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his glorious return. Please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Troas. Also bring my books, and especially my papers. Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one was with me. Everyone had abandoned me. I hope it will not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength, that I might preach the good news in all its fullness for all the Gentiles to hear. And he saved me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila and those living at the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed at Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Hurry so you can get here before winter. Eubulus sends you greetings, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. May the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Psalm 95, verse 1, we'll go through chapter 96, verse 13. God is great. Now this is a call to jubilant worship, not just participation in services as usual. He invites us to shout joyfully and to kneel before the Lord. Why? Well, because God is great. He is a great creator and a great king, and we are privileged to be his people. God is also grieved. See, the opposite of a worshiping heart that pleases the Lord is a hard heart that grieves the Lord. Imagine seeing God's wonders and not submitting gladly to him. The unbelieving Jews paid a high price for their sin. They died in the wilderness and never entered the promised land. Do you want to enjoy your life of faith? Then take time to see the greatness of God and to praise him. Do you want to inherit all that God has planned for you in this life? Then give yourself to worship and praise. A hard heart leads to a hard life. So keep your heart tender before God. And in Psalm 96, we'll see an invitation. In this invitation to worship the Lord, we're given three admonitions. Sing to the Lord. Sing a new song because you've had a new experience with him. Sing a worship hymn because God is glorious and great. Sing a gospel song because the nations need to hear the good news of salvation. Sing a song of victory and reveal the strength of the Lord. Sing a song of devotion and reveal the beauty of the Lord. Give to the Lord. Give him glory with your lips and heart, and give him offerings with your hands. God does not need your gifts, but you need to bring your gifts to God. He deserves the best. And finally, look for the Lord. All nature is eagerly anticipating the Lord's return. For then creation will be set free, the oppressed people will be vindicated, and sinners will be judged when Jesus Christ comes to reign. God's people shall reign with Christ and then worship him perfectly. Hallelujah. Psalm 95, verse 1, through chapter 96, verse 13. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us give a joyous shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let us sing him psalms of praise. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. He owns the depths of the earth, and even the mightiest mountains are his. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We're the people he watches over, the sheep under his care. Oh, that you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tried my patience. They courted my wrath, though they had seen my many miracles. For 40 years I was angry with them, and I said, they are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger I made a vow, they will never enter my place of rest. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be revered above all gods. The gods of other nations are merely idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship him. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell all the nations that the Lord is king. The world is firmly established and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst forth with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise before the Lord. For the Lord is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and all the nations with his truth. Proverbs 26, verses 9 through 12. A proverb in a fool's mouth is as dangerous as a thorn bush brandished by a drunkard. An employer who hires a fool or a bystander is like an archer who shoots recklessly. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. There is more hope for fools than for people who think they're wise.